So I'm starting this series today about dangerous prayer, and
I hope that over the next 3 weeks as we talk about prayer, that one of these weeks is kind of like an anchor week for one, for you. I'm hoping that one of these weeks is something that just grabs hold of you and just holds you in place and gives you a foundation for prayer and in your life with God. And so what I'm going to be preaching on this week is search me, next week is break me, and then the third week is send me. I feel like so often as we go through our lives and we call ourselves Christians that we just kind of go through some of the motions in prayer. We say the safe prayers. We say the easy things, the benign things, and we just be kind of we're kind of expected Jesus and God to be a part of our lives, and we don't pray dangerously. We just, you know, like when I taught my kids how to pray, and I love that Andrew prays for us at every single meal and before bed, but he's still at that age where he's not saying his own prayers yet. He's doing those prayers that we taught him, you know, the "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And that's such a safe prayer. We teach our kids that because we want them to have the safety and knowledge that God is a part of our lives and a part of our prayers. So we teach them these really safe ways to pray. Or how about that dinner prayer? "God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for the food." I mean, yeah, give God the glory. But we, as people that have been Christ followers for more than a few days, we need to pray more dangerous prayers. You know, so often we pray that, "God, just be with me." That's safe. Or "God, protect us as we travel down the road." Safe. "God, bless this home." Bless it how? Bless it from what? How am I going to bless this home? Through God's love and actions. So I want to arm you through this series and hopefully give you some strong ways to pray. So search me, break me, send me. And I want this to be challenging prayers so that you can live this life of change and have this wonderful experience with God. And where we're going to start today is in the Psalms. David, you know, David, he was that king of God's own heart. You know, when I, and I think many of you look at the Old Testament, we look at some of these great figures of the Old Testament. David's, he's at the top of my list. I mean, he was such a great leader, king, and did so many wonderful things. And David had some really big faults, too. Maybe that's why I connect with David. I mean, he's the one that had the affair. He's the one that, you know, I mean, affairs happen in the world, and they end there, and they might ruin marriages and stuff, but David had his friend put to the front line so that he would die to cover up this thing. I mean, David went to an extreme in this, and so David was so fully human, and he needed to have these prayers, and he knew that he wasn't faithful, or at least he claimed he wasn't faithful. But others, all they saw was the goodness of David. And David writes so many of these psalms, pouring out his heart, not holding things back, but really wanting to reveal what was going on to God. So David prayed this very dangerous prayer that was from his heart. And it's a prayer that I hope and pray that you can pray this daily over the next week or maybe longer. It's just two verses in the Bible. It's Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. And this is from the Common English Bible. If you don't like the wording on this, there's a Pew Bible in front of you. It's worded a little bit different. "Examine me, God. Look at my heart. Put me to the test. Know my anxious thoughts. Look to see if there is any offensive way in me. Then lead me on the eternal path." Examine me, or search me. Look. It's on the screen. Will you read this prayer with me? No, go back, Jay. "Examine me, God. Look at my heart. Put me to the test. Know my anxious thoughts. Look to see if there is any offensive way in me. Then lead me on the eternal path. That's a dangerous prayer. We're going to go through that prayer and find the four most dangerous. I mean, a couple sentences. There's four dangerous things in this in prayer. The first one, examine me or search me. Search my heart. If you're a note taker, this is the first note in the back of your bulletin. And as I said, I want to equip you to pray this prayer daily. And really my prayer in this message and for this week is that prayer is on the back of your bulletin. Bring your bulletins home with you. If you didn't grab one, we've got some more on the table out back. When you leave, grab one. Please pray this dangerous prayer every day for the next week. Commit to that and see what happens. So search my heart. Why would David pray this? Some of you are probably thinking, why do I need to pray this? I'm a Christian. God knows my heart. David says, examine me, God. Look at my heart. So David, the king after God's own heart, prayed this. And here's why. I think that David, whether he didn't have the writings of Jeremiah in front of him, but it comes later. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says this, and I think David knew it, and that's why he prayed that. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I think David knew that his heart was the most deceitful thing in his life. And so he desperately needed God to search his heart, look deep inside him, find out what was going on. David knew that all people are liars. I mean, remember when you were a kid, liar, liar, pants on fire? We knew it when we were kids, and it still holds true because Jeremiah knew it, David knew it, and it's in the Bible, and we're liars because so often we lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. I don't eat that much. I don't know why my belly keeps getting bigger. I can go to the bar because I'm just going to have one drink. What's one drink? That's nothing. I'm not materialistic. I mean, what's wrong with having some nice things, though? I don't have an anger problem. Just stay away from me at times. I'm not a gossip. I just want to be a part of the prayer chain so that I can pray for people's needs. But did you hear that so-and-so? I'm not critical, but that moron that I was behind on the highway here, give me a break. Allie, don't go home and tell Mark that. I was behind my neighbor across the street on the way here. That was an example. He's not really. I don't have a problem with lust. But I mean, God made some really beautiful women out there, and somebody ought to acknowledge that, amen? We pray to God for these things all the time. But do we really dare to listen to God in our lives as He's given us answers? Do we dare to pray that God would examine our hearts? That God would look deep inside of our lives and see things about us that we just don't want to see ourselves, we don't want to admit ourselves. I mean, the fact is, you know, when our loved ones die, we feel good, oh, they're looking down upon us. The fact is, I loved my grandparents so much, I don't want them to be looking down on me. Because I know that would hurt them when they see the struggles, the pains, my failures. So we sometimes hide those things from God as well. We don't want God to examine us that deeply. And we're fooling ourselves. We're lying to ourselves because God knows. He's already doing it. So why don't we invite Him to do it and allow that to transform us? When we pray, search our hearts, it's a dangerous prayer. And it's so dangerous because when God does that, He'll show us what our heart is really like. God will show us what is deep and within us that we don't even recognize as a failure anymore. The second thing that David prayed was reveal my fears. In verse 23, it says, examine me, God, look at my heart. put me to the test. Know my anxious thoughts. So what makes you anxious? What are you afraid of? I'm not talking about being afraid of spiders or snakes. Ugh, like those things. I'm ready to pray those prayers. God, get those snakes. I had a mouse in my house the other day. I'm 6'3", and it's funny that this little... I can reveal a great fear that I have right now. Well, depending on how I draw this out, I mean, maybe it's not going to be a half hour from now, but a half hour from now, this is going to be the only hair that I have. Though I got a lot to say. Maybe if I draw this out for a few hours, you'll start wandering out of here. I have this fear that I've got scars. I've had stitches a few times in some places up here. I have this fear. But I'm not talking those fears. I'm talking fears in our marriage. Fears of rejection. Some of us have fears of failure, and at the same time, we have a fear of succeeding. Some of us have fears of intimacy, of the unknown, of loss. I remember the first time I went to Costa Rica, I had a great fear because I was joining a mission team from Wisconsin. I had never met any of those people before. I talked to them on the phone and emailed back and forth a little bit. I had to fly on different flights from them into Costa Rica, a country that I had never been to before, speaking a language that I don't speak, meeting people that I had no idea what they looked like. And we were supposed to meet around the baggage carousel, figure that's a safe place, you know, there'll be a couple hundred people around, but I could find them there. I'm standing by the baggage carousel, and a guy with an M16 came up to me and said, "You need to leave here, sir." He escorted me out because I was loitering in the airport, and my flight was supposed to get there after theirs, but they were delayed, and so I'm out in the streets, literally on the streets, surrounded by people that pretty much all only spoke Spanish. The Spanish I know was going to get me nowhere. It was going to get me a beer if I needed, and that's it. So I know what fear was like in that case. So what are your fears? I mean, your really intimate fears that you have. Are those fears something that we want God to reveal in us that makes us more afraid? Or is it something that we're going to trust God with to know that we're not going to be afraid? Because God's there. We're never alone. Are you in fear of losing your marriage? Are you trusting God to be a part of that marriage? Do you have this fear of something happening with your kids or grandkids? Are you trusting God to care for them when you're not able to? Do you have fear of not having enough to survive on? Enough food, enough money? Are you trusting God to care for those needs? Do you have this fear of failure or letting people down or being inadequate? God will reveal your fears. And that's where you know where your faults are. When we let fears consume us and take over our lives, that's where our faults are. I do have an honest fear, not just the snakes, not just the spiders or the hair. I have a fear of not being a good dad. And I'm constantly asking God to make sure that I'm a good dad, make sure that I make the best decisions that I can for my kids. And that fear is piled on with the fact that I only have 3 of my kids every other week. I have this fear that my 17-year-old, he's not in church Sundays anymore because he's got to work. And I understand that, and I know that the cows still need to be milked and this stuff has to happen, but I have this fear that he's not in church and so he might be drifting away from God. I have this fear that I'm a pastor and I can't control what's going on in my kids' lives enough that they would have a relationship with God, and this fear sometimes consumes me. But then I remember that I just got to go to God. And when I go to God, those fears are taken away from me. And I realize that I'm going to be a good dad. And I'm still going to make mistakes, and that's okay. I have this fear of failing them. But I realize in the end that God is there, and they're united together, and that they're going to get their strength from God just as I did. We all need to trust God and keep us from these fears that we have in our lives. We need to be more concerned with pleasing God than pleasing our fears. Because when all we do is allow these fears to come into our lives and stay there, then that's what's conquering us. We need to let God have some control in our lives so that God can get us through these fears. We need to allow love to come down. Because I can assure you, there's no fear in God's love. The perfect love that casts out fears. And God has given us the Spirit to keep these fears of our lives at bay. So search my heart, reveal my fears. The third thing that David said is uncover my sins. Listen to the courage that David has in this prayer. Look to see if there is any offensive way in me. Any sins, any questionable thing, any offensive way. You notice how hard it is to see your own sins? You ever notice that it's a lot easier to see the sins of people in our lives? You know, we see that speck in their eyes even though we've got a plank in our own. It's hard to see our own faults sometimes and admit to having those faults because we want others to see us as strong people. We want others to see us as good Christians. One of my faults is driving down the highway and you know that there's a construction zone ahead because they give you warnings every mile for 4 or 5 miles and I have a brain, so I can see these mile marker warnings, 5 miles, 4 miles, 3 miles, 2 miles, 1 mile. You see the cones, and some moron cuts you off at the last second, and you got to slam on your brakes, and you're afraid that you're going to test the guy's bumper behind you, and oh, that infuriates me. Last week, 131 construction, I knew it was there. I was that moron that had to cut somebody off because something in my life was more important than following the mile marker warnings. I hope that next time somebody cuts me off, God gives me a little grace to share with them. The most common lies are the ones that we tell ourselves. That's why it's so important and so difficult for us to pray that God uncover our sins. Search my heart. Reveal my sins. Uncover my sins. I want to give you 3 great questions to ask yourself today. They'll help you hopefully be more self-aware. The first one, what are other people telling you? I mean, we all got that one person in our life that tells you every single thing that's wrong with you. You might not have to listen to that one person all the time. But if 2 or more people are telling you the same thing, maybe that's God using them to reveal something that's wrong with you. So if a bunch of people are telling you something about yourself, maybe listen and pray that God would reveal and God would take care of and God would uncover the sin and that God would help you to beat this thing. So if others are telling you this, what are they telling you is the first thing. The second question you should ask yourself is, what have I rationalized for a while now? We all justify something in our lives. We all rationalize doing something. We rationalize, well, I need to do that in order to cope with this thing or handle this thing. It's okay that one person gets hurt if it's better for the many. we rationalize this thing. What's the one thing in your life, or the many things sometimes in your life that you're rationalizing? Know that if you have to justify something or rationalize something, maybe you ought not be doing that. The third thing is, where am I defensive? When somebody points something out to you, what's the thing that you just, don't go there. Don't talk about that thing. Where are you defensive in what people are saying? If you're ever watching TV and a commercial comes on or a commentator says something and you get a little defensive about that, you ought to pick up a mirror because you might be that. Are you prideful, materialistic, lust, addiction, gossip, critical spirit, disobeying? I mean, the list goes on and on. Ask those three questions to those things. And when you do that, when you really examine yourself in that, you will have the courage to pray this prayer that David is teaching us to pray. And you'll be willing to allow God to point some of these things out to you so that you can make changes in yourself that are more godly changes and that God's going to love and that you're going to connect deeper with God. So don't deny what God is showing you. As we confess to God for forgiveness and we confess to others so that we can have healing. Sometimes it's better that when we see something wrong with ourselves, we tell somebody that's close to us, somebody that we can trust, hey, I have this problem and I'm working on it. I'm going to do these things. If you see me not doing these things, please, in a godly way, call me out on that. Help me to work through this. So search me, reveal my fears, uncover my sins. We are not a church of perfect people. If some of you think that you're perfect, then just go polish your halos someplace else, please. We're a church of sinners. We're a church of people that are imperfect and need God in our lives to forgive us, to lead our lives. We need Christ to be the example because we know that we're not perfect. And sometimes non-Christians are very judgmental and they say, well, you perfect Christian, you think you're better than me and you're not. And admit that you're not. Admit that there's faults in you. Be transformed by God so that you can be perfect in your heart of God. So we're being called by Jesus to come and reveal ourselves. We're calling on God to reveal our faults. And in the process, we're allowing Jesus to come in so that we can be transformed. We can go out and transform the world. So search my heart, God. Reveal my fears. Uncover my sins. It's pretty realistic so far, isn't it? When we put all of ourselves into prayer with God, when we pray to God and God does these things, what it does is it points our need for Jesus in our lives. It points out our need for God's grace to forgive us and transform us. It points out our need to have an identity with God. It points out our need to have Christ die on this cross so that we can live. We need God's power. We need a transformation in our lives. This is a dangerous prayer. And it shows us things that we're not always proud of. But it shows us things that we need to give to God in prayer. That's why it's dangerous. So the last thing that David says in this prayer is, lead me, Lord. When God shows us things that we don't like, that we don't know about ourselves, what we learn is that we need God to lead us. Verse 24, look to see if there is any offensive way in me, then lead me on the eternal path. So are you more concerned with what people think of you than what God thinks of you? Or are you more concerned that God would lead you on the eternal path? We need to stop lying to ourselves. And start accepting the truth that we all have faults, that we all have sins, that we all make mistakes. We need to stop denying the truth and instead allow God to transform us and change us in the knowledge of that truth. When you first became a Christian, most of us gave God the big things in our life. Most of us gave God the things that we knew were wrong, and we stopped doing those for Christ's sake and for the sake of our life. We got rid of the big baggage that we were carrying. But as we grow and as we mature as Christians, as we pray our daily prayers, as we read our scripture, and as we start applying and transforming our hearts and lives in this word and in God's love, sometimes we forget about the little things. Sometimes we forget about the little sins. We say, well, those are okay. I already gave God the big stuff, and that's all he really wanted. The little thing, I'll be okay with that. But when we ask God to reveal those little things in our lives, what's revealed in us is that we still need to be giving to Christ. We still need to be transformed by Christ in our lives. We still need to discover what needs to be revealed so that Christ can change our hearts. That's why I think that this is one of the most powerful parts of the Bible, this prayer that David taught us to pray in Psalm 139:23-24. Examine me, God. Look at my heart. Put me to the test. Know my anxious thoughts. Look to see if there is any offensive way in me. Then lead me on the eternal path. So the challenge for the week, take this prayer home with you. Pray it daily. Don't just give it lip service, but really silence and quiet the things going on in your life. And pray this prayer so deeply from within your heart. If you don't like this phrasing, open up your Bible at home. It'll be phrased a little bit differently. Maybe those words will make more sense to you. But ask God to search your heart. Ask God to reveal your sins. Ask God to uncover your sins. And ask God to lead you in every step you take. So maybe for some of you, this message is going to be your anchor message for this three-week series. Maybe for some of you, you're going to take this prayer home with you and pray it so deeply that God's going to transform your life in some way that you might not even know you need. Maybe your anchor message will be next week or the following. But I hope that what we do is we grow our faith, we live our faith by praying some dangerous prayers, by asking God to do these miraculous things in our hearts and our lives, and allow God to lead us the way that he wants to lead us. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, sometimes we see our lives and we know that we're okay. Sometimes when we look deep within our hearts, we know that we have problems. Sometimes we know them, sometimes we don't. So God, I pray that you reveal our hearts to us. I pray that you open our hearts that we might see where we stand, where we live, what we are. God, help us to discover where our fears are so that we can admit these fears, so that we can know where we need to look to make changes, where we need to look to give that part of our life to you and trust you. Lord, help us to be willing and able to handle the uncovering of our sins. God, I pray that we don't just sweep these things under the rug, but we pick them up and hand them over to you, expecting the forgiveness that you offer, knowing that it's not because we are good enough, but it's because you're so good that you forgive all sins. And God, as we see these things coming out of us, help us to turn to you so that we know what path to be on. Help us to turn to you so that we know what steps to take forward that might lead to eternal life. God, help us to believe in the big risks of deep prayers, dangerous prayers. Help us to know that whatever we ask is possible. Help us to be ready to experience and feel and grow the spark of our life as we pray boldly, as we pray daringly, as we listen to your call and your leading in our lives. Lord, bless us this day as we pray to you in Christ's name. Amen.